said, I'd like to welcome you guys to the webinar. My name is Don Baker, if you don't know me, and I've got some pretty good stuff planned for you. Something I sent out in an email a few hours ago to you guys was a document called House Rules, and they aren't rigid rules. I won't be cracking the whip, but just in case you're not familiar with how a webinar works or how to get the most out of your control panel, you can review the document. But my hunch is that what I was saying was, since you're here, you're probably pretty well checked out on everything. In your GoToMeeting control panel, mine is pretty much all over my screen, but thanks, Mark. You can enter questions, comments, anything in the chat box. And what I've done is I've constructed a couple of different times during the call, one at 15 minutes past the hour, and then I'm looking at my schedule here, right about 45 minutes past the hour. I'll stop for about 10 minutes and I'll go through whatever questions and comments. And what I know about the diagnosis, you guys probably know this too, that we do best when we're bumping up against somebody else's ideas or something we're reading. At least for me, I can be incredibly inspired by something I'm reading and I can have five ideas related to it. So if you're having those ideas and you're comfortable with it, I'd love for you to just put it in the chat box and I'll get to it. So comments or questions, just put them in there as we go and I'll make sure I'll get to them. And the other thing I wanted you to know is I'm hoping that I get a ton of questions. And if it works out that I don't get to yours or I don't get to all the questions, don't sweat it. I'll get to those after the call and I'll just write up a document that I'll post and send to you with a link to the call today, okay? Everybody, if you're having any trouble at all, if you can just post in the chat box and just let me know. I think the audio is working. I'm looking at my little device here, and it looks like everything's A-okay. I'll start here in just a second. One of the things I want you to think about during the call is what the heck does unpacking mean? And I'll put a document up here for you. Take a look at some of what some of my clients have said. See if you resonate with this. So what does unpacking your ADHD mean? Hopefully you can see this, and let's see if I can get my screen up here for you. If you're joining the call, welcome. Glad you're here. Looks like we're getting a good number of people on here. So think about this, you guys. What does unpacking your ADHD mean? We're going to get to this a little bit later in the call today, but what I did is in the groups that I've been doing over the years, I've been asking people what it means to them, and it's cool what people come up with, what they say. So once again, if you have comments or questions, let her rip. Put them in the chat box. I'll get to them. And I was talking to Joriel, the woman who helps me edit the content that I have that we're creating, and we were talking about maybe a piece that's missing from all the writing and the visuals and the videos and stuff that we've been posting on Unpacking ADHD. We were talking about, at least I was feeling like the piece that was missing was you knowing a little bit about me. And so ultimately that's what's underneath the three webinars that we scheduled. It isn't going to be all about me, I guarantee it. I am going to get to you, but just in case you're interested, I thought I'd tell you a little bit about my story, and I'll keep it as brief as I possibly can. So I was diagnosed with ADHD, I think it was 1997, and I had I was here in Seattle. I had just finished graduate school. Somehow I had made it through graduate school. I was so interested in what I was learning, and I opened a private practice, this practice in Seattle in 1996. subsequently diagnosed in 97. And prior to my diagnosis, how I would characterize my ADHD is I was really pretty hyperactive. And where I felt most comfortable and most focused was when I was doing something that was physically strenuous. God, it could be anything, you know, climbing and skiing off peaks and things like that. I had a really good time doing that, but I, you know, it's very interesting. I don't know what it's like for you, but retrospectively, when I look back on those, the first 35 years of my life, there was a way that I had this restlessness inside of me. It was kind of an it, this thing, not that I recognize it as such, but that there were all these unconscious strategies I was using to manage that for myself. And, you know, ultimately, what I recognize is how uncomfortable I felt most of the time in my own skin, although I had a really good time. When I was diagnosed, it was a real turning point for me because at that point, I was fascinated by this wiring. And what really complicated it was that when I was diagnosed in Seattle, I don't think there was one resource at the University of Washington. I went to a meeting and I hadn't fully kind of grasped the concept of what ADHD wiring was, and I wasn't even sure I was part of the tribe at that point. But what I did know is that because there was such a lack of resources, I was going to set about to change that, especially for myself. And what I've created over the past 20 years are resources that, for me, would have been amazingly valuable when I walked through that door and heard the words ADHD. And the thing that I would also want to tell you is my bias is that you don't necessarily have to have a formal diagnosis of ADHD to have the material that we put together for you to be relevant. You know, what I've learned over the years that there is such a diversity among the tribe of those of us wired with the traits. And, you know, in the old days, there was kind of a stereotypical definition of ADHD as being you had to be kind of physically hyperactive and probably be a young boy. That was another thing I wanted to tell you. In 96, 97, even though I was diagnosed, I mean, it was kind of a contradiction because the belief in the psychological community, as far as I could tell, was that nobody really believed that adults could live with attention deficit disorder. And here I was, what, 38 years old, and I was. So fortunately, that's changed over the years, and I'm not sure what your experience is with that. But I would love for you to post something in the chat box, maybe, and just say what it was like, what year you were diagnosed, and what it was like for you. But nonetheless, the content on Unpacking ADHD, everything on the site, basically, they're all pieces, bits and pieces of stuff that I've created over the years that I found to be really valuable. I have some notes here. What I did, I think, and another reason I wanted to do the three webinars the next 3 weekends is we can, I think this is true for anybody, regardless of how you're wired, we can read a lot about something. You know, let's say we read about ADHD, and, you know, many of us read a book called Driven to Distraction years ago that we really resonated with. You know, in some way we would see our story in there, but it was, I think there was a gap between, you know, the learning and the understanding or the awareness, like, holy cow, I resonate with those symptoms, and the practical application of, so what do I do with this information? And what I found that a piece for me that's super important is to kind of be with my tribe, whether it's skiing or whether it's with ADHD or whatever it is. It's kind of like-minded, like-wired people around me where a lot of stuff goes unexplained and there's very relatively little judgment about what it is you do that's aberrant or good or whatever, right? So one of the things, as I moved into creating these resources, I created a series of groups called Life Strategies that Man, at one point I was doing seven groups a week, and there were probably a minimum of 10 people in these groups. And so the way it felt to me was, this was this incredible think tank here in Seattle in my office, and people would come in and out of the door like these tides. But what was so cool about it was how people really were able to leverage the support they found in the groups to dive into the content, into the material, the books, the stuff that I had done and other people had done in the country, and start to get some traction. And that really warmed my heart. I actually loved what I do, and it was just like an incredible value add. I had no idea. So today, as we talk about unpacking ADHD and the content, once again, you look at my site and I have a bunch of classes and courses on there. And one of the things I've tried to do is encourage people to use the forums on the site and connect with each other that way. And the other thing I would ask you to consider, whether or not you do a class, is to go to the site and hit the header community and post something in there. I can see some names here on the side of the screen, and some of you have incredible wisdom and have been on your journey with the diagnosis for years. So the wisdom would be really appreciated there, especially for somebody who's just coming in learning about ADHD. So basically, the past 20 years have been rich for me. I still love what I do. I had a group this morning from 9 to 11 o'clock, and it was a group of people starting a Life Strategies 101 group. So it was their first experience sitting down and being in a room with high-octane brains, fairly high-functioning ADHD people. And it's really amazing kind of to ask around the room and just ask, what it's like to be here. What are you taking out of this so far? I provide content, but almost everybody in the room today said, it's the stories. It's the other people. I don't think I've ever consciously made the choice to be in the room with other people wired like me. And I haven't made the choice, not like I wanted to and didn't do it, but so to be here and be in this environment and hear the stories of somebody who has similar experiences but very different experiences is it's really good, and it's kind of odd. The other question I ask people is, so, where do you want to take this? And I'd ask you the same thing today. It's, when you participate in a webinar like this today and you find a couple of ideas that may resonate with you, what do you do with that? So I'd also like you to make notes of that today. And towards the end of the session, I'll ask you maybe what your next step is going to be. Okay? So welcome. So I'm going to take a break here, and I've got 10 minutes set aside for answering questions. And if you're thinking of stuff, even as I answer these, would you post? Anything you can put up is great. So Marlo says, I was diagnosed 2 to 3 years ago as an adult. Fortunately for me, it wasn't stigmatized at the time I was diagnosed, and which is very cool. I don't know for you. I think the myth, kind of the misunderstanding about the diagnosis, I think that stuff has changed tremendously, Marlo, over the years, and I'm glad that it wasn't stigmatized when you were diagnosed. And if you can post, just repost and follow up with that. So was there a stigma you had about it, or did you run into any biases after you were diagnosed, even though it wasn't necessarily stigmatized? Hello, Mary Jean. Mark, you've got a question here too, or a comment. I learned last year at the age of 65 that I had ADHD, not hyperactive, so probably just inattentive, right? For me, the diagnosis took all the emotions I had that had no reference point and turned them into a thing concept that did have a reference point I could talk to others about. Well said. So it kind of coalesced, or it took shape and form, and then you were able to find words that described it. And Mark, if you'd repost and do you notice, and I notice this, and maybe you have or haven't, do you notice that as time goes on and you tell the story or you find the words, that there's an evolution to the way you describe it? And the reason I'm asking this is because one thing I discover is that as we learn about this for ourselves, we have a clearer reference point, and our story changes, but in really kind of good ways. So thanks for that question. That was great. Mary Jean. Hello. I was diagnosed at 38 years old after recognizing many traits of myself. As my 16-year-old son was being diagnosed. It was a massive relief to get the quote-unquote answer as to why it was all so damn difficult. After relief came grief for the years lost. And after finding Don's Life Strategies groups came acceptance. I remember this for you. And it's common, right, Mary Jean? I mean, you hear the story that many of us come at a diagnosis or understanding about our ADHD because of kids or family member or friend, right? It's like, and you didn't hear me say this necessarily, but a lot of parents who see their kids being diagnosed take their kids' medications and, coming through the back door effectively. And the grief is... Mary Jean, remember the life strategies we covered, Sari Sulden's book, Journeys Through Adulthood, and we were talking about that part of the grief is kind of reconciling the what if prior to diagnosis. And at 38 years old, you had a lot of water under the bridge and experience, and it's almost, my hunch is that it was like, you know, if I had known, it could have been really different. And coming to terms with that, right? Accepting the fact that somebody didn't pick it out. And I think the other point that's really, really harsh and fascinating at the same time is the gender differences. And Mary Jean, you have pretty much predominant inattentive type. And it gets missed and misdiagnosed as depression often in women. And so women kind of fly under the radar, and even though you're kind of searching for answers, typically you'll end up with a different diagnosis. And you could repost with this, and if you want to add something, it'd be interesting. So, okay, you guys are on fire now. This is good. So let's go down here. So Marlo reposted. I was just so fed up with my life not working at the time. So I just wanted to find something that worked. And before I even considered that I might have ADHD, I was looking for a life coach because I know I wanted to do something to improve my life and effectiveness. And so, yeah, you were on the right track, right? To find somebody, some outside resource to help you kind of recalibrate and align with what it was you were after in your life. And I think that's what it takes, don't you, Marlo, that we have to get kind of sick and tired of being sick and tired, unfortunately. We're a stubborn group, and to be told what to do, I don't know how you are with that, but I know for myself that that's a tough one. So, Mark, you posted the evolution of my story, yes. So you're affirming the fact that as time goes on and you learn more about kind of the manifestations of the wiring for yourself, that your story kind of evolves and changes. Yeah. And it's kind of a cool thing to notice. And maybe it's so nuanced you don't. Marlo, I have a friend I can tell thinks an ADHD diagnosis is bogus, but the other two or three friends I told were supportive. I was diagnosed at the age of 41. So at this point in my life, experience has taught me not to care what other people think so much. So I think I accepted or actually embraced my diagnosis because I'm just more accepting of myself overall at this point in my life. Yeah, that's cool. I think that's true. You know, with age, we get a little seasoned. Hello, Jan. Impulsiveness in decision-making, self-sabotaging and emotional attachment, overreaction to stress, All were symptoms that caused negative thoughts underlying many years of my life. Glad to reconnect with your group. Yeah, it's good to see your name and your post. And I wonder, how many years has it been since I have seen you face to face? But I get from your post that you had a really acute awareness. I remember when I met you in one of the Life Strategies groups. And maybe just say a little bit more about what more you're aware of or what your strategies are these days. And Mark, I've been depressed for years and have been treated for depression, but medications didn't really help. Pursuing the ADHD angle has helped me get a handle on why. That helps me. Yes. So my hunch is that you might have been depressed, but what's fascinating to me is, and you look at some of the professionals, the leading professionals in the country, and how they choose to deal with treatment, especially if there's a coexisting condition, say depression or anxiety or, you know, OCD and ADHD, often what they'll do is they'll treat the ADHD first, because the ADHD can be, or excuse me, the depression can be more situational, related to kind of the foibles and the failures and the dissatisfaction and the overwhelm related to the kind of the foundational ADHD. And it sounds like the provider you worked with maybe didn't know, or maybe it was just part of the evolution of you figuring out what is what, right? But nonetheless, and the story you're telling here is it's often more true for women. It's interesting because more men are reporting this. And Mark, you mentioned you have kind of the predominant inattentive type. So my hunch is you didn't have any stereotypical behaviors like overt physical movements or screaming and yelling. And so you were missed, right? I mean, your symptoms didn't align with a stereotypical definition of the diagnosis, so it must be this over here. And I'm glad you found info about the ADHD diagnosis. And I'm wondering, like, if as a result of that, you've changed how the type of treatment strategies you're using. Mark, all my providers view treating depression as overlying and need treatment. And I don't want to pretend to be a doctor or know it, but I just talked to so many people over the years, and I'm just so fascinated with what the people who are that I admire in terms of their treatment strategies and how they do it. And it's really, I mean, to find somebody who knows the diagnosis is tough, I think, right? Anything else? Any other comments? Anybody else on board here? Anything you want to throw in, you guys, or should we move on? Jan, let's see. You said, I keep challenging my restlessness by seeking structured growth opportunities. This is cool. So most recently joining Toastmasters with deadlines in a supportive environment, accept offers of mentoring. Don't worry when I appear not to be contributing to the group. Nobody cares as much as I do. Oh, I love that. That's courageous as hell to be at Toastmasters. And so it's the recognition, what you're saying is you're recognizing your restlessness, and structured growth opportunities are a way to scaffold that for yourself. And Toastmasters, that is great. Love to sneak into a meeting and hear you sometime. I think we have something else here. So, yeah, the misdiagnosis of depression, let's see, as an adult was incredibly frustrating because it just did not fit. And, yeah, just I hear that. And back to your comment, Mark, if you try medications or if you try treatment strategies to give you a little bit of relief from the depression and you don't get any relief, the futility, the feeling in that, right, that's tough. Or even if it makes you feel more anxious. Mary Jean, you throw out, looking back at my youth, it was glaringly obvious. ADHD was my wiring. And And I wonder, you know, even though you were kind of stereotypically, glaringly, obviously ADHD, just, I don't know, maybe, and you could probably speak to this, it's having a little girl who is, you know, kind of restless, and you just want her to stop, right? Stop behaving. Let's do something about that. However, as a girl, my impulsiveness, loud hyperbehavior was bad. Yes. Yes. Glad you guys are here. Okay, so keep posting. Any thoughts, any questions? I'll get to them, I promise. I love the stuff that you guys are throwing out. What I want to show you is you've probably been on the site on Unpacking ADHD, but I thought I'd give you a little glimpse of that. I want to look at the question, what does unpacking mean? How was it that we came up with the words unpacking ADHD, and is it relevant? Does it mean anything to you? I want to take a real quick look. We did an infographic, an ADHD timeline. What I think is fascinating about that is just the evolution of the words used to describe this particular wiring that we live with. I think it was into the 1960s. We'll look at this. As late as the 60s, it was called hyperkinetic disorder. And before that, you were pretty much mentally ill, I think, or retarded, whatever the word was, right? So we'll look at the evolution of the language, kind of the cultural perception of that. I want to show you a little bit about the core series. It's a series of groups that I modeled after life strategies, and kind of tell you what our thinking was with that, what the developmental process that I'm trying to address in that. I just launched a new class called Brain Food, and I'm a real firm believer in medication, and I honor anybody's decision around medication, whether you want to take it or not. It's your call, correct? But what I want you to know is that treatment is incredibly comprehensive, and there's so many different facets to good ADHD treatment. One of those is food, and I had a personal experience a few years ago. I took a class by Kathy Abascal. called inflammation, you know, food creating inflammatory responses. And so effectively it was a real good diet to take a look at what foods I might be reacting to. And what I discovered was that, it was the foods, it isn't like a significant effect it's had on me, but there are subtle effects that different things like gluten and dairy and things have on how I feel. And, you know, an example of that was I discovered I've had these sinus issues all my life, and I don't know how it is for you guys, but when you live with something, a minor chronic condition like that, over time you just accept that it's just the way it is. And to discover that there were certain foods that would create this physical discomfort was like, I mean, that's kind of my ADHD is like, you're kidding me. So that was kind of what was behind me creating the food class. Okay, so let's see. I want to get you away from this page. And I'm going to take you to the website and see what you think of this. Bear with me for just a second here. Here we are. All right, so can somebody give me a yes or no if you are able to see my screen and the Unpacking ADHD site on yours? Excellent. Thank you, Mary Jean. So the first thing I wanted to show you on here, you may or may not have done this, but When I look at, as a therapist, when somebody comes into my office, one of the first things I tell them when they walk through the door is, there are so many moving parts and so many things that have to happen for you to end up here in my office today. And I told the people this morning in group that, and I say, you know, I'm not intending to patronize you, but for anybody, it's tough to decide to go sit in a room with other people for 2 hours and talk about ADHD. The same is true with, you know, doing anything else and with somebody who doesn't have the ADHD wiring. And one of the things I've discovered over the years that keeps people away is that there is a kind of a predominant focus on our what we don't do well, our weaknesses, our challenges. And as much as I'm a firm believer in medications and a firm believer in treating and managing and modulating the stuff that challenges you, I'm a real advocate for a more balanced focus and looking at, so what is innate? What are your strengths? What is it you're good at? What's frigging easy for you, right? And one of the guys in the room this morning said he's getting his PhD in mathematics, and his girlfriend, soon-to-be wife, is pissed off because he doesn't do the stuff he says he's going to do. So we have this paradox of extreme strengths and extreme challenges. When I look at ADHD evaluations, most measure what it is we don't do well. So Joriel and I sat down and came up with our own self-test, a spectrum self-test that includes the strengths of ADHD. And so if you haven't had a chance to go through and take this little self-test, I'd love it if you did. And then when you're done with it, what I'd love from you is input. What was missing for you? Was there a question or two that you would have liked to have had included in the screen? Or is there a way that the questions are worded a little bit odd and we could tweak that? I'd love your feedback. So I wanted to show you this. I also told you about the infographic that we put together for a history of ADHD. So what we wrote is, so if you live with this diagnosis, you're going to be happy to know that you're not brain damaged, and whew, that's a relief, right? And you don't have a disease of moral control, but that might have been your diagnosis 50 to 100 years ago. You could pull this up on the site, but I wanted to scroll through this really quick. You know, so 1775, it's kind of funny. Melchor Adam Weikart describes ADHD-like behaviors of the inattentive person. He advises cold baths, horseback riding, and keeping the individual solitary in the dark when he is too active. So anybody want to raise their hand and say you're willing to give that a shot? And so you can look through the timeline, and this is what I think was interesting, and I was telling you a little bit before. In 1952, the DSM-1 describes ADHD-like symptoms as characteristic of minimal brain dysfunction. So the term brain-damaged child is in common use during the 50s and 60s. Brain damage is inferred from behavioral symptoms now associated with ADHD. And just a point of reference, I was born in 54, so this was right about the time I was born. You look at 1968, the DSM-2 redefines the minimal brain dysfunction as hyperkinetic reaction of childhood. DSM-3 in 1980 is when we first begin to see attention deficit disorder with or without hyperactivity, and then we zoom up to 2015 and 16. Research continues to deepen understanding of ADHD, especially the interplay of genetics, brain chemistry, and environment. And for me, that we live in an exciting time, and in a way we live in the dark ages too, but it's in terms of neuroscience, beginning to see how genetics and environment and, you know, the different neurochemicals, the whole interplay, the complexity of, you know, the foundation of who we are and especially how certain traits arise. And if you have any perspectives on that, if you have any comments about these times and kind of the evolution of the information that's being supplied, would you post? That'd be really good. One other resource I wanted to show you was on the site, and I would love your input on this. So what I've listed here are books that I have found to be profoundly moving for me over the years. And what we've done on here is we have created a rating system. And if you've read the books, I'd love for you to go on and rate them and say how much you enjoyed them. I'm looking through the list here, and I'm seeing that pretty much everything is rated pretty high. All right. So I want to go here now. And real briefly, is anybody getting bored with what I'm saying? Post, let me know, will you please? Or do you have any questions? We're going to come to those in just a couple of minutes. But what we have done here, so I'm going to go to the core series, and I want to show you that what we've written is that unpacking ADHD is a journey, and you're going to be guaranteed to come back different. But so the metaphor that I like to play with is the first step in learning to thrive as an adult with ADHD traits is to throw out the things you don't need in your life suitcase, and then to begin to consciously select what you need to move forward successfully and adapt over time as you gain confidence and self-knowledge. This life-changing journey is the core of our ADHD classes. And if you take a minute and post on the side and would you comment on the relevance of this for you? And if the metaphor is accurate for you, and if in fact it is, have you noticed that, you know, in the beginning when you get this, the information about your wiring, and you begin to educate yourself about it, you know, an example of beginning to throw out the things you don't need in your life suitcase would be maybe a myth that you bought into or a certain belief, and maybe you've replaced that with something, but I would love to get your comments in the chat box on this. So basically, we broke our content down and into a developmental framework, and so I'll take you here. I'm signed into the site. I just want to show you very briefly. We call the first set of classes Opening the Suitcase, and basically, it is, let's see, I'll come here for you, and I'm going to open this, and I just want to give you a glimpse of this, and I'll move on, I promise. What I love to offer is a shift in the way that we see the wiring, a paradigm shift, and so this particular course, the introduction, the first piece is what's inside your suitcase, then what we look at is, so what is true, what's essential knowledge for you about ADHD, and then I like to talk a little bit about the biology. I think it's important for us to know, to begin to take a lot of the shame and the moral failing piece that we often will feel and replace that with some accurate understanding of what the heck is going on in my brain. And is there a way that I can influence this? And the answer is yes. Then, and once you start to learn about a little bit more about your brain, the neurochemicals, how you're wired, then beginning to connect, let's say you've tried medications or you've tried a new eating strategy or you're working out or you're getting more sleep, you're attending to your self-care a little bit more appropriately, and you're a little bit more focused, are you noticing changes in the choices that you're making? Is it impacting behavior? And I'm hoping you'd answer yes. So building hope, lesson three, and then into lesson four is charting a new course. So as you unpack and repack, you lift your gaze and look out ahead, and where is it you want to take this? Marlo, you mentioned in one of your questions, you were talking about looking for a life coach, and often that's where a life coach can be invaluable. So the other piece here is the blog, and I look at this picture right here of myself, and I've really gotten into snowshoeing, and it's just been an epic year, and my face was frozen. I can see it right there. The blog, I really encourage you to go to the blog. We post all sorts of different pieces here. Acceptance versus resignation, I think it's really interesting to look at. Have you resigned yourself to living the way you're living, or have you accepted it and integrated that into who you know yourself to be, and are you ready to move forward? ADHD and anger video, this is Rick Green and Ava Green. They have a website called Totally ADD. This is a video I participated in. It's a good one, and we've got a link to it here for you. And so this is one other thing I want to point out to you. Eric Tevers, if you're not familiar with his site is called ADHD Rewired. He's a great guy, and I was lucky enough to do a podcast with him. And so what Eric does is he interviews all sorts of people who work with people who live with ADHD. He's done Russell Barkley, Ari Tuchman, all these people. I think he has 80 or 90 podcasts on there. But what I love about it is his approach is he wants you to tell your story. And so what's cool about his podcast is it's Russell Barkley telling the story of how the heck he got so involved in ADHD research and so on. So I encourage you to go to Eric's site and check those out. I'm going to pause for a second, and I'm going to open this back up to questions, ladies and gentlemen, and comments, and I'm going to go back over here to my control panel, and I want to see if you have anything burning, any burning desires to post, or you have any questions that you'd like answered, okay? So let's see here. Oh, yeah. Bear with me. Okay, Mary Jean, we read this one, and however, as a girl, you were also impulsive, right? And I lost my track here. We're going to come back. Bear with me. There we go. So Jan, we talked about, this is a great post. I keep challenging my restlessness by seeking structured growth opportunities, most recently Toastmasters. Boy, I'd love it if we could turn the mics on. You could do a little ditty for us right here. Comment about ADHD being diagnosed, Mary Jean, with depression, and glaringly obvious that as a kid you were hyperactive, kind of stereotypical. Yeah, that's great. Resonating with everybody here, this is great. I love it too. Marlo, so most of the self-help books and advice that people give are aimed at neurotypical people. Think of the story about the tortoise and the hare. Everybody has praised the tortoise and uses the story as an example of the dangers of pride. But I think that people in the ADHD tribe are hares, and we can be proud of that and just learn how to live proudly and effectively as hares. Perhaps the hare was prideful, but just distracted. I love that. That's very cool. And Mary Jean, yes. So Marlo, I've decided to stop living within everybody else's mold and create my own. And I love to hear this, Marlo. This is, it's really good for you to get a hold of your own voice and feel this level of confidence. Now I don't have to probably tell everybody I have my own mold, and I'm ignoring their mold. I just manage how I am with them because, let's face it, we have to get along with our coworkers and others because we need them to be effective, etc. Classes like Don's help me march to the beat of my own drummer. It's just that sometimes I put my headphones on while the drummer is drumming. That's, you're on fire today. Mark, I find it very hard to talk to people who don't have an ADHD perspective and get them to understand. It seems everything I say gets reflected back as, and you don't think everybody has the same issues? I knew you were going to write this. That gave me pause to consider the spectrum nature of ADHD and the connection that does your life work or doesn't it work? I wonder how to put that into perspective. That's very good. Right. And I think what I hear you saying is taking it from an either-or perspective, making it more kind of shades of gray, right? And having that inform how you talk about it to friends. Would you say something more about that? And Mary Jean, nope. Marlo, Mark, in my opinion, life is really a stage and we're all actors with different roles to play. When I'm around people who aren't supportive of how I manage my ADHD, I just read the lines of a different script, or better yet, don't discuss the topic with them. It's not because I'm ashamed, I just don't want to waste any more time being unproductive. And I definitely don't want to quit doing work, what works for me because of somebody else's uninformed opinion. My philosophy now is that everybody has to do what works for them. I'm sure you don't agree with everything that these anti-ADHD people believe or are doing, but do you give them a hard time? Good question. Jan, in the early 70s at summer camp, one of my campers, a little 8-year-old girl, took Ritalin every day. She got along well and was outgoing, but there was the fear that the staff had of what would happen if she went off her meds. Never did. Was seen as an outsider, no matter how well she behaved. Wow, that's a long time ago. And I bet it was an anomaly for her to come to camp. And I'm wondering, was that something you guys, just like they do in school, was it something that you had to give her, or was she in control of taking the medication? How did that work? I'm curious about that. And I wonder how that was for you guys. Mark, thanks, Marlo. I get that. But if they are family members, I have a need for connection that hopes to find a way to achieve better understanding so we can better treat each other for support rather than conflict. And I hear that dilemma, Mark. That's a very real dilemma. So Marlo says, Mark, okay, I wasn't thinking about this from a family member perspective or a significant other experience. Since I'm single, I don't know if I can offer that advice on this one. And Marlo, at this point in my life, I only have to connect with and get the agreement of three people, me, myself, and I. I probably do want to get into a relationship one of these days, so if you'd be better able to advise me on the maze I will have to navigate with regard to connecting with family members over this issue. I think backing out to about 50,000 feet on this one, it's looking at self-disclosure. It's, Mark, you made some interesting comments before about, and you acknowledge that, yeah, over time what's happening is there's kind of an evolution of my understanding of what this wiring is, and so I can better find words to more accurately describe what's going on for me to other people. But, it's fascinating to me, like in family, every family is this way where we have these roles that we've played, kind of unconscious and conscious, right? And so change in a system is, I mean, a system prefers to remain the same, homeostasis. And so to change a system, what that means is other people have to change, and whether they consciously know that or not. And, what I'm aware of is if you tell somebody about ADHD and basically their understanding of it is kind of based in myth and not fact, depending on how strongly they feel about that, it isn't a matter of convincing them, but it's going to be probably an incremental process over time, right? And that can be kind of frustrating. So I think the antidote is to be around supportive people who get you and really value those traits in you and not give up on the family. And you didn't say you were, but I know that there can be a futility that we can feel with that, right? I think it was self-administered. Maybe she went to the infirmary, but on campouts, probably we handed it to her so long ago. Yeah, honest, right? But still, nonetheless, your point was she was ostracized. She was an outsider, right? Mark, I'd love for you to post on that again and talk a little bit more about disclosure to family and looking at it from kind of over the long term, or however long you've been in that process, and if you notice any incremental change, and what your role was, and if in fact finding out the information about ADHD that you really have changed in terms of self-awareness and the way that you present yourself, right? So it's like, are you making any incremental progress? And do you think there's anything in the way that you're changing that has an impact on, you know, whether or not they buy in? I want to make another quick comment about this, and not that it has to be restricted to the workplace, but ADHD disclosure in the workplace, that's a touchy one too, you know, and it's because the attributions about disclosing something covered under the ADA, it can bring up a red flag with HR departments. And my experience has been mainly with Microsoft HR, and they actually historically have been incredible at providing the accommodations that people have requested. But it's really interesting with the change of company culture. It was almost, it became a witch hunt in a way, and it was almost like the corporate culture kind of regressed in terms of how ADHD was seen and what it was. There was something kind of a stigma attached to offering the accommodation. So it kind of waxes and wanes, and I just feel, I think it was you, Marlo, I think you were talking about the way you talk about it isn't necessarily directly about ADHD, but it's more about advocating for certain manifestations of it, the good things and the bad things. Will you guys take a look at this document with me? And I want to look at, and I want you to post quickly on what does unpacking mean to you? So let's say, hypothetically, you're going to be moving forward in your life, and here you are today. Let's see. And I want to ask you again, if somebody could let me know, do you see the document, what does unpacking mean to you? If you can just give me a thumbs up in the chat, that'd be really good. Thank you. Marlo, appreciate it. Unpacking, what does it mean to you? So these are some of the answers that I've gotten from group members. Over the past couple of years, and see if anything resonates for you, or if you want to add to this, or you disagree. So basically, these are people that have put themselves in an environment here in my office where they're surrounded with their tribe mates, and they have begun to trust and open up. Okay, so these are just quotes I took, and there could be some misspelling in here. So I was surrounded by others satisfied with just getting by and surviving, and what I've uncovered is the need to be more inventive, more creative personally and professionally. Historically, I've been hugely afraid of being judged and afraid of doing the wrong thing, so I decided to, this is a typo, to this person just basically, she retreated and went within. And then again, and what's happened is I've gotten out of the rut I've been into. Somebody else wrote, I connected with my brother who I haven't talked to in years yesterday. He listened. He didn't problem solve. That was a moment of clarity and a marker of my growing connection and success. Unpacking ADHD has taught me what to look for. And so what I think is fascinating about what this person says is, so what he or she discovered is the goal isn't to fix his or herself, but to be more of who he or she is. Here's a metaphor, ambassador of self to self. What I'm noticing is a decrease in feeling shame. I'm enough. I don't fear the disconnection as much. I've learned I can tolerate the distress involved with being willing to be seen. Somebody else wrote, as she or he is unpacking, I am worthy of connection. Next person wrote, the growing courage to be imperfect, letting go of what I thought I should be. I'm beginning to see the full range of symptoms, strengths, and challenges, and accept that they both exist. That makes me happy. I'm more willing to be honest, even when I have the impulse to hide. And this is a really great comment. And I'm not sure if this is true for you, but many of us living with the traits of ADHD know that we can often have incredibly high integrity, and we tell the truth at all costs, and it gets us in trouble. And if that is something you experience, you agree or disagree with, I'd love for you to post on that. So I would love for you guys to just post what you can at this point. Let me know what you're thinking. If you have any questions, I would also love for you to post about what unpacking means to you. And then where I'd like to get to in the last couple minutes is, so what is your next step? Okay, Mark, you wrote, on one hand, accepting my ADHD allows me not to only accept myself, but to accept others for their uniquenesses. I love this. I must be self-consistent. Sometimes different people can have two very different needs, both true and with good motives, but they may be 180 from each other. Finding a way to compromise is challenging. Thank you. That's beautiful. Totally agree with needs being 180 degrees from each other. If anybody else has a comment on what unpacking means for you, at least this far in your journey, I'd love for you to post it. And with your permission, I'd like to include it on the list of other quotes that I have. And my last question to you, and I'm going to send you out a little survey. You just spent an hour with me and with some of the content that I presented to you. And I just, would you post quickly on the side over here, what value was there in this for you today? What do you take out of this? Is there a nugget, a feeling, something specific that you take out? And what will you do with it? Jan, unpacking is knowing ADHD is part of myself and loving myself as I am. Lovely. And so what you're talking about, what your growing edge is, one of the things is Toastmasters. And I'm just curious, talk about another, maybe something else you're stepping into, you're thinking about. Marlo, for me, unpacking means unpacking habits and ways of operating that thinking that just don't work for me. It means unpacking that idea that saying ideas that most people just accept as gospel just simply won't work for me, so I don't have to follow that way of thinking. That's really, really great. Would you post about where has that taken you, that it, this courage, and do you get a sense of the path ahead? Where are you headed with this? So before we wrap up, I'll just I want to thank you guys for being here again, and it is absolutely my pleasure to do this and to spend time with you once again. You know, the mission, the at the heart and soul of what I do is my objective is connect us with each other, to connect us with information, to dispel myth, for you to discover who you really are beyond your ADD-ishness, and to become incredible advocates for yourself and for your wiring, for you to just carry that out there. It can be incredibly powerful. And I see a couple more comments. Marlo, so I can work on things that truly interest me. I can work on and do what I want to do instead of what everybody thinks I should. This experience is part of my journey to help me figure out how to improve my life and find a way to be more relevant. That's a great comment. I love it. And it sounds like you're really diving in, Mark. It was nice to have you on the call. Marlo, most importantly, I don't have to do things in the way that everybody else knows for sure is the right way or the only way of doing something. And that is, Marlo, I know you, and that is, for you to write that is powerful because there was a way that you ascribed, like many of us, to the way things should be done, and you didn't do that. And for you to now to believe this, I can imagine that's a huge amount of freedom. That's very cool. I'm going to sign off, you guys. And if you'd like, I hope you come back next week. We're going to meet at noon next week. Next week, we're going to talk more about specific stories of members of the tribe, powerful stories. And we'll meet again from noon to 1 Pacific Standard Time. Okay? Enjoy your weekend. Thank you so much for being here, And this is Don signing out.